The scripture this morning comes from Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 4 through 7. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we are going to talk about peace. As we talk about and think about peace, things happening around the world, and also in D.C. and Dallas, things happening don't let us have our peace. That's how I feel. In Paris, we still have the memory of restaurant attack in Paris. That's pretty recent, wasn't it? That horror and death and very grim image of, again, Nice attack in Nice, Paris. What I remember is about 84 people have been killed, of 121 still in critical. So this is really insane. Very sad and insane. And thing happened in Dallas and also even in our own capital city, D.C. Those many things constantly happening, and those things make us wonder and ask this question, will there be peace ever? Have you thought and asked that question? Seeing things happening, one thing after another, about the Zika virus, cancer, losing job and illness and tough things constantly happening to us. I don't know about you, but things constantly, news and happenings, makes me say, will there be ever peace in the world? Really, ever? And then, during the week, I received this email from the district office. Thursday, I believe it was the day that I received this. We are deeply saddened to learn of the sudden death of Ann Kimball Davis, 22-year-old daughter of Reverend Bill Davis and his wife Susan. Ann was killed in an automobile accident yesterday, July 13th, 2016. She was in Idaho with a team from Bike and Build, a non-profit organization. Bike and Build engages young adults in cycling trips to benefit affordable housing. And graduated in May 2016, that's this year, right? From the College of Women Mary, and Reverend Bill Davis is pastor of the Trinity United Methodist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. So, here is the question. As we struggle with the things, the violence and terrorist attack and also war going on constantly, and I hear that even there's a coup in Turkey, and Zika virus, and constantly, every week, a week doesn't go by with my job, me hearing about someone having cancer, pastor, pray for that. Not a week, single week goes by without me hearing that. That's the reality. And then this terrible thing, like a young 22-year-old, just college graduate, great future and bright dreams and futures, her life is terminated like this. And how can we have peace? Can you? It's really hard, isn't it? It is. So the question is, how can we have our peace? We need more than when there's no more war, when one just attacks someone about who's behind, who's responsible, not just when that is resolved and their issues are addressed. not when Zika virus or Ebola virus, that danger is somehow gone, and somehow we find cure for cancer, when all the things at home and marriage and family and all those things are good and we all have peace. And the thing is, those external circumstances, things happening to us, as long as we are alive and breathe, those things don't stop. So if we try to find peace when those things stop and those things cease, and then I'll have peace, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So we need something more than that, something better than that, eternal and powerful, surpassing all those things constantly. So that's what we are going to do today. Can we live in true peace? What does the Bible say? Isn't that what we are here today? I believe you heard enough from the news and world. Time to hear from the Bible and God's eternal word. Here's the thing. Isaiah, today's reading, talked about peace and principle of peace coming. And when Isaiah talked about this, this is one of artistic work, actually, relief that actually is still existing. When the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he finally invaded Judah and Israel and conquered Israel. And after that, he wanted to be remembered. So he commissioned some of his people so that they can capture what happened in Judah. So when Isaiah talks about Prince of Peace, you need to have this mighty God and Prince of Peace, wonderful counselor, you need to have this one, this God. When Isaiah talked about, you know, the background is this, Israel is being invaded by Assyrian army around 701. Already 722, their brothers, northern part, already been conquered, and massive population has been deported to Assyria, and Judah is barely surviving. And king of Judah back then was Hezekiah, and back then Judah was annually paying heavy tribute to Assyria, and that has been hard, and there has been some regime change in Assyria. King Sargon died, and his son Sennacherib became the king. So King Hezekiah of Judah, he thought that, you know, this is time we can start our revolt. We can get free from this heavy tribute and taxes, and this foreign army is coming constantly harassing us. We can get away from this. So he started a revolt. He asked Egypt to help him. Egypt said yes, but they didn't come. So, Syrian king came with about 185,000 troops and surrounding and invading. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to go 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Well, what's going on? Enemies invading, war is going on, city after city in Judah being captured. That's what's happening. Who is the king? Hezekiah was the king. And the king of Assyria demanded of King Hezekiah of Judah, verse 14, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the, here's the thing, they've been paying this heavy tribute to this Assyrian king, so that there was too much, when I rebel against, so that they don't have to pay this tribute. But this king came with massive army, attack and capturing city after city. So the king of Judea, he got panicked. And the demand was, hey, 300 pieces of silver talents and 30 pieces of silver gold. That's, you know, one talent is like about a million. So it's a huge money. So nation's revenue has been depleted. They don't have any money. So what did they do was, they went to the temple, began to scrap from the temple gold and things. Isn't that sad? So first Captain Hezekiah gave him all the silver, and that was found where? In the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. Very sad. And that was not the end of it. The king, Sennacherib, began to taunting that, if he give you 2,000 horses, do you have enough soldiers that can fight against, you know, come and fight with us, and just taunting, and saying that you said that you're trusting God. There's no point of trusting God. Look at all other countries, they trusted their God. We conquer them. There's no point of trusting your God. That's what he was keep saying. This is, however, King Hezekiah responded. Instead of getting discouraged, he discussed with his pastor, Isaiah. Yeah, he did. He brought the threatening letter from this enemy, and took it to the temple and laid at the altar, and he is praying. 19:14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord. Hear, open your eyes. Lord, help, 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 help. That's what it did. Chapter 19, angel of the Lord went over the camp of this Assyrian army, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. The Assyrian king fled, went home. His sons killed him while he's worshiping his God there. So that's the kind of a brief sum of the history. And here's the thing, when Isaiah talked about peace, it was not because everything was perfect. How desperate he must have been felt. Enemies there, blood and army, their boots and noise and sounds and just attacking. They are like shooting missiles. Yes, back then they had. Not like, you know, what we have today, but those, you know, something like that. Those are missiles and being attacked like that. When Isaiah talked about peace, what he's saying is, instead of you relying on external things and circumstances like Egypt, if you rely on the mighty God, wonderful counselor, prince of his God, surrender yourself to this God and seek help and guidance from this God, then you will have peace. See that? Not because everything is perfect. Not because there's no more war. Not because everybody's, you know, whenever things like that happen, war, death, and plagues, and famine, all those things happen. So when Isaiah talked about peace in the midst of those things, God's peace that surpasses all our understanding, there was the peace. Next is, in the Gospel of John chapter 14, you heard this expression many times, peace I leave with you. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Peace, Christ is speaking, I leave with you. My peace, Christ's peace, I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away. I'm coming to you. If you love me, you will rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I am. And then he says, believe. So Jesus spoke about peace when? I wish that we have a bigger picture, but you can see that Jesus is on the left and the 12 disciples, I believe Judas is still there. All of them, they were like in hunched legs, sad, about to, you know, fall apart. That's, why is that? Because Jesus is about to be crucified. They are uncertain. They do not know. Like sheep without shepherd. They are sad. They are uncertain. They are confused. I can think of some of the times that I was at the hospital with some people at their deathbed and family. Some of them, like Phyllis and Tom Thompson family, they are ready, even celebrating the hope of eternal life. But not every family. Some family, they really have tough time. They're all down and crying and tears and pain and suffering. It is something like that. So the point is, when Jesus told us, I leave you peace, I give you my peace, not as the world, it's not because everything is good, it is not because everybody is healthy, it is not because your parents and my parents, they live forever with perfect health, It's not that. In the midst of death and separation, suffering is around us. It's about to happen. We are about to lose our loved one. In the midst of that, Jesus saying that, do not be afraid, do not be terrified, because I leave my peace with you and I give my peace unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. That kind of peace, not because everything is perfect, not because there's no more war, not because we have perfect health, no, not because our parents live forever, no. In the midst of those troubling things of the world, Jesus saying that if you have me, if you have surrendered your life unto me, if you live with me and my spirit, you will have the peace. The point I want you to think in this passage is, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you. What is next word? As the world gives. This is what the world says. You'll have peace when economy is good. You'll have peace when your job is perfect and secure and safe. You'll have peace when your health is good, excellent. You have perfect job. All your children behave. Again, getting excellent jobs. Duke, you know, MBA and medical school, all those things. Then you'll have peace. When your relationship with husband and wife is so wonderful and perfect. Your health is good. Your brother is healed from cancer. And all that, no. That's the world says, you know, if you have those things, you'll have peace. But Christian peace, the peace in the Bible peace, what Christ and God can give us is, in the midst of it, in spite of all those troubles of life, if we have Christ, we have peace surpassing all those. Jesus says, I leave that peace with you and to you. I give that to you. Do not let heart be troubled. Do not let him be afraid. One more thing. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus has been resurrected. However, the disciples, they have no clue. They do not still believe. And then two disciples, on their way to Emmaus, they met Christ. And Jesus was eating with them and broke the bread. And the scripture says, later their eyes are opened and then Jesus disappeared, the risen Christ. Then they were saying to each other, weren't our hearts burning when he opened the scriptures? That's very interesting, isn't it? Weren't our hearts burning when he opened the scriptures? And experiencing Christ's resurrection, these two disciples, they turned around from going to Emmaus. They went back to Jerusalem and they opened the door where the other disciples were hiding themselves because they were afraid of the authority, fearing that they, like their teacher, be arrested and killed and crucified. So they were hiding themselves and opening the door, these two disciples, they're saying, we have seen the Lord, he is risen. Right there, Christ comes in the middle of them, midst of them, showing his hand like these nail spots, and saying, what was the first word when they were talking about this? Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. They were startled and terrified. Isn't that who we are? And thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened then? Why do your doubts arise in your heart? In the Gospel of John chapter 20, Jesus not only showed his hand the nail spot, but his sides where the spear pierced her through and saying, peace be with you. What does that mean? This is what I get out of that. Losing our loved one is really hard. Having funeral, that's hard and difficult, right? Another thing even difficult or even harder is after all the funeral, when anniversaries comes and holidays and those times comes, we have those scars, wounds, memories. Sometimes when we hear a song that our loved one loved here, or even the perfume that a husband or wife used to use, then we smell that and then we are suddenly plunged into this deep sorrow and tears. We get to cry. That's okay. But the message is, in those moments that we get to see our scars and pains, those things are still there as long as we have Christ. in the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So this is what we share today. The world says you'll have peace when that conflict is being ceased or stopped, when the war is over, then there's no more terrorist attack threat, when economy is good, all prices down, your health is good, your parents' health is good. And the world says, when you have those things, things are under control, things are not falling apart, then you'll have peace. That's what the world says. But the Bible says, we have peace no matter what. Even before, middle, Isaiah, after the war, exile, even before we're facing losing our loved one, death at deathbed, like John 14, even after all that, troubles and challenging things of life, what the Bible says, if we have Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, then we have this peace beyond our human understanding and comprehension. The word, the Hebrew word shalom, it means whole and complete as we surrender our lives unto God. And Greek word eirene, it means tie, bind together. Here's the thing, when was the last time that you felt that, you know, I don't know, peace, I'm going crazy, this is really too hard, you know what? Then we say, this is very interesting English expression, so-and-so is what? Falling apart. I'm losing what? Control. I'm losing my sanity. When we don't have peace, you know what's happening? We are falling apart, our inner being. We are losing the peace and composure on all that. Therefore, the word shalom and eirene, when our Bible peace, when means that is, you know, when we are falling apart, about to fall apart, we are about to lose all the sanity and control and all those moments and critical times that we desperately need peace. That's the time, if we surrender ourselves unto God, accept Christ and yield ourselves unto Him through the Holy Spirit, follow Him. You know what? Eirene shalom in this. God's going to hold us together. God's going to bind us together so that we have peace. That's eirene shalom. We can't. But when God binds us together and ties us together through the Holy Spirit, then we have peace. Let's try this. This is what we are trying to hold together on my own. It doesn't work. This is my interpretation, okay? I was watching. This is my interpretation or inspiration. We are trying to hold on our own. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Or disease, economy, all kinds of things that we can hold. So we let God hold us together and let go of our anxiety and fear. That's the way. I see. And what do we do now, everybody? When you feel like you're falling apart, we all have those moments and experience. We all, including me, we all in those moments hold this. And remember Christ said, I leave my peace with you. I give my peace, not as the world. Do you think Christ ever lied to us? Then we got this. We have peace with us. We do. We got this. Got this. And Jesus says in 14:29, believe this. God has given us this peace. Surpasses all understanding. The next time when that thing happened to you, try to make you fall apart and crazy, and then hold this, and Jesus said, breathe in deep and breathe out. Lord, thank you. I don't have to be, going crazy on this. I trust you. Your peace is with me, with you. Somehow I'll pull through this. Lord. And one more. Once you open the hymnal, page 110, Martin Luther, he started this Reformation, and thanks to him, we can now read the Bible, because prior to that, only priests were allowed to read the Bible, but now we have. Because of he was doing the right thing from God, guess what? Rome and lots of people didn't like him, tried to kill him many times. And his family suffered a lot, terribly. Finally, powerful person tried to protect him, put him at the top of the tower, kind of isolated him so that he can be protected from any death and danger. And this is what he says, a mighty fortress is my money, my family, my job security, number of troops and police officers will protect me. Is that what it says? A mighty fortress is a bulwark never failing, a helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. But still, our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus as who then may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Zebut. And though this world with devil's field should threaten unto us to us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness scream, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word I'll fail. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abide. The Spirit and the gifts are ours. Through him who with us sides, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abides, still his kingdom is forever. Martin Luther says this, I can't have peace the world away. Even his enemies about to take his life, his family, all the goods that he had, but he's saying that I'm fine, I have peace because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God's gift for me. That's what he says. So, in closing, let's try this again. We're trying to hold on our own. We realize it doesn't work. So we yield to God. Let go. The peace of God guide us. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray for the people in Paris. The tragedy or terrorist attack hit them pretty recently. And this again? Please comfort them and strengthen them in this difficult time. Also, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, be with the Davis family who recently lost their wonderful daughter, graduate from college, the bright future. Lord, some of us, we struggle because of a cancer, economy and job, relationships, health. After losing our loved one in all this, the world constantly trying to take away your precious gift of peace from us. But Lord, we believe you, we trust you. In all those moments, we choose to surrender our worries unto you. So the peace of God may guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Let us, Lord, following your Holy Spirit, be rejoicing and begin to live in this your eternal and everlasting peace with the Prince of Peace. And share this peace, because the world is really hungering for this peace. Lord, make us your ambassadors of peace. In Jesus Christ, we ask all this in his holy name. Amen.